In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. And Lord, we begin our prayer with that act of faith. I firmly believe that you are here. Wherever each one of us is as we do our prayer, you are here. In our lounge room, in our car, in a train or a bus, in a chapel, you are here. You are with us. And today we do our prayer about the lessons of the Transfiguration. You teach us by your word. You teach us by your deeds. And we have so much to learn from your Transfiguration on Mount Tabor. We open the Gospel of St. Matthew to the 17th chapter. You have been speaking beforehand about taking up our cross and following you. You are preparing the apostles for your death. We should follow you. We should take up our cross as you did. But then St. Matthew says, after 6 days of that discourse on taking up our cross, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain apart. Peter, James, and John, the chosen three out of the 12. They would be with you when you raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead. They would be with you in the Garden of Gethsemane. They were chosen by you. And Lord, we are. Anyone doing our prayer with these meditations wants to grow in holiness. We are practicing our faith. We want to draw closer to you. So few human beings do. So few of our fellow Catholics really want to grow in holiness, and we do. We are your chosen ones today, not because we are better human beings, but at least we are trying. And you led them up that high mountain. Mount Tabor rises some 450 meters above the plain of Jezreel all around it. One might say, that's not very high. I was at Mount Tabor recently in a visit to the Holy Land, and the bus, the big bus carrying our group, went up about a quarter of the way at the most. There, on a somewhat level piece of ground, we got into minibuses, and they took us up the hairpin bends, the zigzag track back and forth to the top, because that mountain is steep. And they said, if someone wanted to walk up from the base of the mountain to the top, it would take about 4 hours. And Lord, you and the apostles had walked, first of all, to get to the base of the mountain, then some 4 hours of continuous walking uphill. By the time you got there, you would be exhausted. And that very walk up the mountain is so symbolic of our life. The journey to holiness, the journey to heaven. We'll have the cross. We'll have its difficulties. It is not the easy way. It is the difficult way, the narrow way that leads to life. And let us remember that. As we make our journey to you and to heaven, we will encounter the cross. We will encounter difficulties. It will not be easy. But we continue, as you and the apostles did, to the top of the mountain where they encounter you. He was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. And Lord, they see you now in your glory, in your divinity, to prepare for the passion and death when they will see you in the depths of your humanity. But another way to look upon your transfiguration is they see you there on Mount Tabor as they will see you in heaven, and as we will see you in heaven. This is the goal of our life, to see you transfigured. Lord, help us to see in your transfiguration what awaits us at the end of our life if we live well and die well and go to heaven. We will see you there transfigured, seeing you face to face. Here we see you as if in a mirror. There we shall see you face to face, as St. Paul writes. Lord, this is the goal. This is why we are here on earth, to know, love, and serve you on earth in order to be happy with you forever in heaven. And Lord, help us to keep the goal in mind, because naturally we get so absorbed in the here and now. These problems I face today, my ill health, these relationship issues which are not going well, all of the difficulties that we face, and the good times too, but we get bogged down in the here and now, in the today. And St. Paul invites us, writing to the Colossians, to lift our thoughts above, to be heavenly minded, not earthly minded. And especially when we are experiencing difficulties, these will pass. One day you will call us to eternity, to that indescribable joy and love of heaven forever. And especially when we are going through those tough times, to lift our thoughts above, to remember what awaits us in heaven, to see you transfigured, to see you face to face, and together with you in the Blessed Trinity, Our Lady, in her humanity, having been assumed into heaven, all the angels, including our own guardian angel, and then all the blessed, all those who are already there in heaven, and amongst them our loved ones on earth, people in our families, friends that have preceded us in death, we will be reunited with them too. What joy awaits us. Help us to lift our thoughts above, to remember the transfiguration, which is a reminder of what awaits us when we get to heaven. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And we might say, why Moses and Elijah? One reason can be that they represent the two main parts of the Old Testament, the law in the case of Moses and the prophets in the case of Elijah. But also we should remember, they encountered God on the mountain too. And in fact, it was the same mountain. We hear the name Mount Sinai, where Moses went up and received the Ten Commandments, having fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And then he saw God and received the Ten Commandments. But it was that same mountain by the name of Mount Horeb. And it seems very clear that Mount Sinai and Mount Horeb in the Sinai Peninsula of Egypt are the same mountain. And there Elijah, having walked 40 days and 40 nights, having eaten the cakes that were given to him, encountered God in that still small breeze, not in the wind, not in the fire, not in the earthquake, but in that gentle breeze. He encountered God too. And now, Lord, they are with you when you hear the voice of the Father. and we go on with the account that St. Matthew gives us. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is well that we are here. If you wish, I will make three booths here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." It is well that we are here, seeing you face to face and in the company of Moses and Elijah. And Lord, we can say that often. It is well that we are here, especially when we are closer to you, as we are now in our prayer, or as we will be in a church, in front of the tabernacle, where you are there sacramentally, substantially present, inviting us to come. "Come to me, all you who labor and are overburdened. I will give you rest." And we find such joy, such consolation in the midst of our problems when we are close to you in the tabernacle. And when we experience any one of those good times, a birthday celebration, the birth of a new baby, a pleasant holiday after a busy time of work beforehand, a wedding, those good times on earth when we can say, "Lord, it's good for us to be here." But let us never forget when we experience the cross too. Because, Lord, you allow us to share in your cross because you love us. You shared your cross with the saints. All of them had crosses. And you invite us to take up our cross daily and follow you. To be your disciple is to be closer to the cross. This is part of our life too. It is not always the good times. It is also the suffering. It is the sorrows, the death of someone, the problems that we experience in relationships, in our work, our own sickness, or the sickness of someone near us. So many crosses that we will have in life, they are part of your plan for us. They sanctify us, because when we pick them up and carry them with love, we are closer to you. We are experiencing your cross on Calvary, which you share with those you love. Didn't you say that in the book of Revelation? "Those I love, I chastise." And Lord, then help us to see that when you visit us with the cross, you are close to us too. And we can say, "It is well for us to be here, yes, even with the cross." St. Jose Maria says, "In this life, we will never lack joys or sorrows. But don't forget that if our Lord sends us a joy, it is because he loves us. And if he sends us some sorrow, it is to see if we really love him. How do we face those sorrows, those crosses? Do we embrace the cross as, Lord, you did? Do we carry it with love, knowing that you are with us? We are Simon of Cyrene. And you are carrying most of the weight, but we are so close to you carrying our cross. Then we show you that we love you, because you are showing us that you love us by sharing your cross with us. The cross, too, unites us with you. And it purifies us of our sins. It speeds us along the way to see you transfigured in heaven. And then they hear the voice of the Father. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When I visited Mount Tabor together with a large group, there were no clouds. It was in the month of June, and throughout that month, the sky was always blue. One day a few clouds came in Jerusalem and a few drops of rain, but it was always sunny. And perhaps it was a day like that too, when the disciples together with you were on the mountain, and then suddenly, out of nowhere, a big cloud representing God, as the cloud led the Israelites in the desert during the day and the pillar of fire by night. Now that cloud, and out of the cloud, a voice, a booming voice perhaps. There was no one there, but they hear the voice, and it is obviously the voice of the Father saying, referring to you, Lord, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And that would have been frightening, but so enlightening at the same time. God the Father saying, this Jesus is my beloved Son. He is the Son of God. I am pleased with him. He does my will. Listen to him. And Lord, there's so much in those words of the Father that we should take to heart, that you be able to say about us, this person that each one of us is my beloved son or daughter, with whom I am well pleased. Help me to please you as you always pleased the Father, that God can look on me and be happy. He is pleased with me because in spite of my sins, I am at least sorry for my sins and struggling to be the saint that God wants me to be that better person. And the message that God sends to the apostles, this is my beloved son, listen to him. How important this is, to listen, Lord, to you. You are God. You are the way, the truth, and the life. We are on a journey to heaven, and you are the way. You not only point out the way, you travel the way ahead of us. And yes, that way leads over Calvary to the cross and to the resurrection. You are the truth. You teach us everything we need to know to get to heaven. Help us to listen to that truth and try to live it. And you are the life. You are the eternal life in God. You are that supernatural life in our soul. And you give us that life in baptism and whenever we receive the sacraments. And you constantly give us grace. You are giving us everything we need to follow you along that way to heaven. But we need to listen to you, and not only to your word in the catechism, but to what you are telling each one of us throughout the day. To listen to you in our prayer. Not only saying prayers, but listening. What are you telling me? Perhaps you are telling me to do something that I am reluctant to do, but that is your will. And sanctity is doing your will, not just sweet words of love or sweet feelings. Saint Alphonsus says, all of holiness consists in the love of God, and all of the love of God consists in doing his will. To do your will, we must know what it is. And we hear you speaking to us in our prayer, as we just said, through our conscience. Throughout the day, and it might be while we are working, it might be while we are resting, suddenly your voice speaking to us in our conscience, stop doing what you are doing. That is not what I want you to do. Do this other thing that you might find less pleasant, or start that job that you have been putting off. Talk with your spouse. Talk with that child of yours who wants that attention that you should give. Those different indications that we receive constantly throughout the day in our conscience, listen to you. That is what the Father is telling us, and sometimes we turn a deaf ear. We don't want to hear what our conscience is telling us. But let us be open. That is sanctity. And Lord, you too had to listen to the voice of the Father, and it was carry your cross, die on that cross to redeem mankind. And you took up that cross, and you carried it all the way to the top of Mount Calvary, and there you died on it. What we are asked to do will not be difficult like that. Help us to listen to whatever it is, and to do it. Then we are united to you. And we listen to you in the scriptures. And we can ask ourselves, do I read something of the Bible every day? And especially something of the New Testament? How much we listen to your word there. We see what you do. We hear what you say. This is the way to heaven. If we read just one short passage of the New Testament every day, it will take us a few minutes. We will make our way through the whole New Testament in a year or two, perhaps, and then we start over. If we read more than a short passage, a paragraph or two, we can easily make our way through the whole New Testament in 1 year, and then we start over. And at the end of our life, we will have read the New Testament many times. We will know you well. We will know your word. Help us to take up that custom, if we are not already living it, to read a short passage of the New Testament every day. And of course, we listen to you in Mass, in the prayers, in the readings where you speak to us, and above all, in Holy Communion, where you live in us and we live in you. We are united with you, and you speak to us very clearly throughout the Mass. But not only listening to you, hearing you, but loving you. The more we know of you, the more easy it is to love you and to do your will. And then, when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were filled with awe. And Lord, we are filled with awe when we hear your word in the scriptures, when we receive you in Holy Communion, when we are close to you in one way or another. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And undoubtedly, Jesus, in his humanity, the appearance of the divinity having passed. And then they go back. And Lord, this is our life. We experience you so much in different ways, in those good times and in the so-called bad times. But what those apostles did was to share what they had experienced with others. And we see that in their writings. We open the first letter of St. Peter. He writes in the first chapter, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was born to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we heard this voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain." And Lord, he is passing on to his readers his experience. They saw you on the holy mountain. They heard the voice of the Father. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." He shared that joy. He shared that message of seeing you transfigured. St. John does too, in his first letter. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we saw it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing this, that our joy may be complete. Sharing with you what we have experienced makes us happy. Our joy will be complete. And Lord, help us to share our faith. So many people do not know you. And even those who profess to be Christians or even Catholics know so little about you. And while they might pray sometimes, they might go to Mass, they don't really love you. They're not really growing in holiness, and they need someone to tell them the joys of being close to God, the joys of love, the joys of prayer, the joys of reading the scriptures. We experience this. Help us not to keep it to ourselves, not to bury that talent, to make it bear fruit in others. So many people, everyone looking for God, because they're looking for happiness. And they will find happiness when they find a good. But the greatest good, the greatest happiness is in finding God, who is the infinite good. And Lord, this is what they are looking for. You have found us, and we have found you. Now you need us, as you needed the apostles, to share what they saw and heard with others. And they went out, and the church grew so quickly. Even on that day of Pentecost, 3,000 were converted. And a few days later, the numbers had risen to 5,000. Lord, you have blessed us with our faith. You have confirmed that faith in the account of the Transfiguration. You have reminded us of what awaits us in heaven, to see you transfigured and to see you face to face. Let us share this joy. Let us share this blessing, this word of yours with others, so that we can give an account in the judgment when you ask us, did you make this talent bear fruit? And we can say, yes, Lord, I spoke with many. I gave good example. And maybe we could have done more, but at least we will have done much. This whole work of evangelization, which is so fundamental, Lord, help us to do it. Help us to give thanks for seeing you transfigured in at least reading the scriptures, so that we can share it with others. And we finish our prayer going, as always, to Our Lady. Help me to see in the Transfiguration the goal of my life, to see you face to face in heaven, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, Our Lady, the angels, and all the blessed. Help me to listen to you often throughout the day in those various ways that we have considered, so that hearing your word, I can put it into practice. Like Mary, she heard the word of God and kept it. Help me to do the same, listening often to God when he's asking me to do something. Help me to grow in knowledge of him, and especially in love for him, as Mary, you knew him and you loved him. And help me to share with others the great joy of being close to Jesus, as you, Mary, gave Jesus to the world. You shared him with me and the whole world. Help me to draw so many lessons from this account of the Transfiguration, so that I can be the saint God wants me to be and help others to draw closer to God as well. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.